بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. We continue discussing the illustrious Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week we discussed Fatima bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha, a Sahabiya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was married to Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anha first, and then when he passed away, then she married Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and when he passed on, then she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And we discuss her beautiful biography, her piety, her taqwa, and the fact that she was also a shining star who we follow and we get guidance. And we see the simple life they led and the sacrifices they made for deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we discuss inshaAllah a very famous sahabiya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, she is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she is the queen of paradise. And that is Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four daughters: Zainab, Ruqayya, Kulthum, and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was the youngest. She was born at the same time when the Kaaba was built by the Quraysh, and this was 5 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gained prophethood and nubuwwat. She was the youngest of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had born all his children. So Fatima's mother was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So 5 years before Nubuwwat, then Rasulullah becomes a Nabi. Initial period of Islam there in Makkah, you know the entire scene where they are being persecuted mercilessly. She's a little child and she is witnessing on a daily basis how her beloved father is being persecuted mercilessly at the hands of the Quraysh. She was witness to the scene when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making salat in front of the Baytullah, in front of the Kaaba, and whilst he was in sajda, when Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had placed the intestine of the camel on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then come the other Quraysh leaders, and each one begin to nudge the other, and they mock and they laugh. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first one to come on the scene, and she sees this camel intestine on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her beloved father. She turns to them, young girl, she addresses them, "Why are you doing this to my father?" She tries to rebuke them in a little words, simple words, innocent words, and they begin to mock and laugh at her. She would see her father coming daily home, and from the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she would make out that he had been persecuted that day, and he had been troubled by the Quraysh. She was also amongst her family when they were ostracized and they were placed in the valley of Abu Talib for 3 years. The historians write, the effect of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha's pain and suffering whilst they were being ostracized and boycotted in the valley of Abu Talib, it remained with her for a long period of time. So she saw the initial period in Makkah when the Muslims, the Sahaba, were being tortured. And she even witnessed the day when Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha was married to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was, or both of them had made hijrah to Abyssinia. We discussed that previously in Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala incident. And when Ruqayya had come back to Makkah, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had already passed on. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was married to Abu al-As bin Rabi', and Umm Kulthum was divorced. Ruqayyah and Umm Kulthum were the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, married to the two sons of Abu Lahab, and these two sons had divorced the both wives, that is the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam got Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala married to Ruqayyah, so they made hijrah to Abyssinia. So Umm Kulthum and Fatima, these are the only two living with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home. And when Ruqayyah had come back to Makkah, it is mentioned that the first thing, she goes home now wishing to see her parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had met with the men at some person's house or near the Haram Sharif, and then he comes home. But Ruqayyah had gone into her house and she found things a bit different. She found the emptiness in her home. Umm Kulthum kept silent. How she's going to break the news to her elder sister Ruqayyah that Khadija radiallahu ta'anha, her mother, has passed on. But Fatima was an innocent little child, and she looks at Ruqayyah and immediately tells her that our mother Khadija has passed on. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to look after these young daughters of his. After the demise of Khadija radiallahu ta'anha, and he had already become a Nabi, the responsibilities became more and more heavy on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Persecution also was very heavy. How is he going to spend time with Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha? Nevertheless, she is born and her tarbiyat is made in the house of Nubuwwat. There are so many incidents in the initial period of her life, but nevertheless, hijrat is made. And when Rasulullah made hijrat also, he left Fatima behind radiallahu ta'ala anha and Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha and a few other women of the family. And later on, they were brought to Madina Munawwara. Second year after the hijrat, she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And the incident of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's nikah and proposal and nikah is a very unique and very beautiful one. But just to summarize this entire incident, which is mentioned in great length in different kitabs of hadith and history, there was a slave girl or an attendant who worked for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's family. And she kept on asking him, why don't you go and propose for Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? And she said, haven't you heard that proposals have already begun coming for her? According to some kitab, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala even proposed for her. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala proposed, he refused. Of course, Sayyidina Uthman was already married to one sister. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, what do I possess? I've got nothing. So the slave girl or the attendant, she says, no, she insists, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will speak to him. He will organize and arrange something for you. So according to one narration, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, after the family had insisted, gained some courage, he goes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knocks on the door, makes salam, remains silent. Unable to put forward this proposal. It's difficult. He's feeling very shy. Rasulullah just smiles at him. Another narration says that the friends of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and family members had insisted that you go and propose. So he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after making salam. Nabi Kareem looks at him, what is it, Ali? So he says, I have come to propose for Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only replied, ahlan wa marhaban. That's all. So he, and then kept quiet. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala remained quiet, silent. Now he did not know what to say. He felt a bit uncomfortable and he left. People outside are waiting. Now what did Rasulullah say? He say, he just told me, ahlan wa marhaban. So now I don't know what it means. They say, ahlan wa marhaban is sufficient acceptance from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because ahlan means you are part of my ahl, my family. Welcome to my family. Marhaban. Welcome to my home. May you be kept in a nice home. In other words, when somebody come, we also say ahlan wa marhaban, or ahlan wa sahlan. May your coming here be easy. May you are welcome. So Rasulullah in actual fact, he is welcoming you to his family. And a third narration says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sayyidina Ali proposed, then he had mentioned that Allah had commanded me that I should get you married to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. And Sayyidina Ali himself was very, very worried and concerned. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I possess nothing. What mahar will I give her? I've got nothing by me. So he says, what about the coat of arms that I had given you, that armor I had given you once? He says, yes, I have that. He said, then just give that to me as mahar. Give that to Fatima as mahar. So that was given as mahar to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Comes to the walima. Rasulullah sallam tells him, Ali, you're going to have a walima. So Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anha, he arranges a goat that is slaughtered for the walima, and the Ansar had brought some wheat and whatever else they had, and they made some type of meal for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's walima. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells both Ali and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala that after they were married, he says, wait for me. When the both of you are alone, don't proceed with anything until I come there. So they wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes, he makes wudu, and then some water he takes and he sprinkles on both of them. First on Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and he mentions some dua, some supplication. And then he does the same thing to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. Many duas have been mentioned, but all are very similar, which means, Wallah, bless these two in the nikah. Bless them, give them barakat. And even give them barakat in their nasal, in their progeny. And in this coming together, this consummation of both husband and wife, Ya Allah, bless them. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was very, very afraid on that night, being young, she's married. She was actually trembling before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa assures her, or reassures her. He says, oh Fatima, I have done my best in getting you married, and I have got you married to the most beloved person in my family. The most beloved one to me, that's the person I have chosen for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them a straw mat, an earthen jug, a mug, a water bag. This was the possession Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala had. Nothing else. This was the only possession they had. We're talking about the Queen of Paradise. Compare ourselves to them. They say, Asman aur Zameen ka farak. Long before the couple are even getting married, we already see invitation and cards. And if you want to give any gift, then you must purchase it from so and so store. And expensive items are sold in those stores. Why have you made deen so difficult? And then we complain. And then we find there's no barakat. Now again, I don't want to lament about our plight and conditions. But today was another very heavy day. And may Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat and tawfiq. May Allah bless us, may Allah guide us. We need to ask for hidayat all the time. Nobody is perfect. Everybody makes errors, mistakes. But it just seems as though we are not interested in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the lives of Sahaba ikram, in the lives of our pious predecessors. We're not really wanting to bring this into our lives. We're not showing that humility. We're not showing the tawadu. We're not showing this Islam in us, in the submission that we talk about in Qurbani, big bayans we give and we listen. We're not bringing this into our lives. Sunnah for us is, mashallah, He's eating nice meal or sweet, something sweet. A few sunnahs, which are very important, of course. But we just taken those few things in our life. Why is it there are so many problems in our marriages? Let us go back and see what the root cause. Although they were so close, Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala an, as far as being family, Sayyidina Ali was Rasulullah's cousin. They were so close, yet there was no contact whatsoever. No contact. Sayyidina Ali was in fact feeling so shy to even send a proposal. And look at the dua Rasulullah gives them. See the barakat. You know what barakat they got? They got Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu. The leaders of the youth in Jannat. Their life was so simple, so simple, so simple. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu has a camel. He uses his camel, he drives it every day far out just to fill water. And because the leather strap or the reins of the camel that he had to hold and then bring the water on his shoulders, it caused him chest pains. He says himself, if shakaytu sadri, I had pains in my chest. He goes and tells Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, his wife. She says, you know, I'm grinding. Oh yes, Rasulullah had also given her a mill, a hand mill to grind the wheat, to make the bread at home. See, and they had no khadim, no servant whatsoever to help them. So he is busy doing, bringing the water for the purposes at home, for the use, for food, for drinking. And look at the ni'mat Allah has given. Just one tap and you open and see how much of water. And she's working so hard that her hands became very coarse. So he said that Ali says, I've heard Rasulullah has got some slaves have come to him. Why don't you go to your father? Please go there and see. Perhaps he'll give us one khadim, make things so easy for us. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the historians describe, the sahaba describe the walking of Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. The manner in which she used to walk, her gait. كَانَتْ مِشْيَتُهَا مِشْيَتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. She walked exactly like her beloved father. She knocks on the door. Salaam, walaikum as-salam. She enters. She's unable to put this request. Rasulullah was not a tyrant. He was a loving father. But she felt it so difficult to ask. Perhaps it's not right to ask. So she comes back. So both of them then go together, Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima. And then they put forward the problem and the request. Rasulullah says, no. He says, Wallah, Allah's qasam, I cannot give you any khadim to make your work easy at home when my ashabu sufa, when my poor sahaba who are gathered on that platform, they have nothing to eat the entire day. It won't be fair that I give you a khadim and you having a happy life and you don't understand what type of happiness is having a khadim to see to their needs. How can I do that when my ashabu sufa, they don't even have a date even to fill the stomach? So both of them come back without any complaints. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was rahmatul alameen. He was a genuine, sincere father. He comes that night. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha are both resting. They're going to sleep. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters, made salam, they made walaikum salam, they are about to wake up. Respect. He says, ala makanikuma, just remain where you are. And he himself then sits between the two on the same bed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I could feel the coolness of the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on my body. And then he explains to them, shall I not teach you, give you something more better that will help you than having a khadim at home? Something that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has taught me. And then he tells them, in one riwayat is 10 times subhanallah, 10 times alhamdulillah, 10 times Allahu Akbar after every salat. and 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, when you retire, when you go to bed, when you go to sleep. But there's another riwayat which is 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar after every salat, and when you go to sleep. So if sometimes it is difficult for us to read 33 times subhanallah, read 10 times also, you get the same reward. So he teaches them that. If somebody gives us that, we say, we are asking for khadim, helping it. Help us. You give us a wazifa. How is this going to help? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his family, made their tarbiyat, made their minds, and made their zehn up, made their lives. He molded them in such a way that their nigah, their eyes, their glance was always towards akhirat. He actually made dua, Ya Allah, give my family only that much of food. Only that much of food that would keep them alive. He could have asked for his family mansions and palaces. But he chose to be poor himself and live amongst the poor. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala married and they get 3 sons. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and the third one, Muhsin. Muhsin radiallahu ta'ala passed away in infancy. Daughters, 3 daughters, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Zainab. The exact names as the sisters of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. She kept the same names. Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. So they had 6 children. There is an incident, obviously when you get married, there is no marriage that the husband, mashallah, he never ever scolded his wife, never got angry with her, and the wife also never ever got angry with the husband, or never got upset with him. There's no marriage there. There's always, in any marriage, there must be, sometimes the husband will become upset or angry, or sometimes the wife. Even in the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, he was rahmatul alameen. And he had only excellent qualities. But there was an incident where there was some argument taking place between Rasulullah sallam and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And at that particular moment, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, her father, Sayyidina Aisha's father, enters. And he sees, or he hears Sayyidina Aisha raising her voice above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was becoming angry or upset. Immediately he goes charging towards her, about to smack her, when Rasulullah sallam quickly intervenes. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, that you are talking to my Nabi like this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him understand and then he leaves. A few days after that he comes, both of them are smiling and laughing. So he says, can you please give me permission to enter in your peaceful times, just as you give me permission at the time of your people's war. That was when you were fighting. Point here is, that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us not misconstrue whatever I'm saying. Otherwise tomorrow they say, Maulana said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a fight with Astaghfirullah. We don't listen properly. We don't listen attentively. Point is very clear. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his wives and he showed an excellent akhlaq. But as far as being a human being, there are times when things you're not happy with your wife, she's not happy with you, you have an argument. So it happened also in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq left home the first time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at Sayyidina Aisha and says, how I saved you from the man, how I saved you from getting hiding. So similar like this was when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Fatima had some problem. Argument. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu got upset, he went to the masjid. Rasulullah comes home, he sees Sayyidina Fatima, sad, grief, distress, not looking in a very good condition. He makes out some problem. He goes to the masjid. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is resting. There are traces of sand on his cheeks, on his face. Rasulullah wakes him up, Qum ya abat turab, O father of sand. In other words, You stand on him. Stand up. What's the problem? And Rasulullah then takes him and they go to Sayyidina Fatima and he reconciles them. One Sahabi who had seen Rasulullah entering the house first and coming out in a very distressful condition, or saw him when he entered, there's something not right. But after some time, he comes out happy. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, what's the matter? I saw you going in very, very distressed and now I see you coming out happy." He says, "Why shouldn't I be happy when I made peace between the two most beloved people in my family? Or the two most beloved people to me, I caused peace between the two." Now this was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always trying to mend, trying to patch up, trying to reconcile people. Especially when it comes to husband and wife. And this is what we have to do and try. There's no magic wand a person has, just read something and everything comes right. There's always, we say, ups and downs of life. The vicissitudes of life. Sometimes things are not very good, sometimes things are hard. But we have to may have sabr and bear all these things. But if you follow Quran and Sunnah and live within that circle of Quran and Sunnah, within the boundaries of Quran and Sunnah, and you are sincere and you are genuine and you dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I promise you Allah will give you that happiness and peace. But the moment you want to do things on your own, then you are not going to see that happiness and peace. So Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, they are blessed with very pious children. Sayyidina Hassan Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anha, imagine all the time entering the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being in his company. Once Rasulullah is giving a khutbah on the mimbar when his two grandsons appear. I've mentioned this many times before. He actually stops his khutbah. Addressing the sahaba, he leaves it. He goes down and he grabs these two. And he kisses them. This is my fragrance of Jannah. These are my fragrance of Jannah. They had one blanket with which they would place under themselves, and with the other part, other half, they would cover themselves. There are so many other things, but we are running short of time. Once Rasulullah is sitting with all his wives, and then he calls for Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she comes. Whilst all the other wives are sitting there and present there, he calls her very close to him. He whispers something in her ear. She begins to cry. Then he calls her again, he whispers something else, she smiles. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, very curious. She calls Fatima after, "Tell me, what must I tell you? What was it? What's the secret? Come on, tell me." She says, "No. This is the secret between my father and myself. I'm not going to divulge the secret." Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's very young but extremely, extremely, extremely mature. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in other words, although Sayyidina Aisha is not a real mother, she's the wife of her father. Her real mother was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Fatima was 10 years older than Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, she was 28 years old. She got married when she was plus minus 18. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Sayyidina Fatima passed away, she was 18 years old only. So there was an age difference of 10 years. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Aisha says, "No, you've got to tell me." She says, "No, I'm not going to tell you." When Rasulullah passed on, Sayyidina Aisha was still worried about, what was it? What is the secret? She called him. She said, "Listen here, I've got a right over you. I'm like your mother. Now you tell me." So she said, "Okay, you insist." Rasulullah, when he called me the first time, he whispered. And he says that this year in Ramadan, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and made door of the Quran and Majid with me twice. Normally he only makes with me door of the Quran once. This year he made twice. And he says, "I feel that now my time is up and I will be leaving this world soon." This immediately she burst out crying. He loved her father so dearly, so dearly. I cannot mention all the ahadith and all the Arabic quotations to show the bond. And I had mentioned previously that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would undergo or undertake any journey, then after meeting the Sahaba or whatever, he had to leave the read namaz in the masjid, he would go and he would first, or the last person before he would proceed, will go, make sure he meets his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. And when she sees him, she would become so happy, and she would stand up and make her father, first of all, kiss him on his forehead, and make him sit on her chair. And he would do the exact same thing when she would visit him. He would kiss her on the forehead and make her sit on his chair. So close they were. Now the news that I'm going to leave this world, she began to cry. Then what he whispered again. What did he say that made you smile? So she said, that Rasulullah told me that, in fact, the first time he said that I will leave this world and you will be meeting me very soon. From my family, you will be meeting me the first. And the second time he said, or second when time when he whispered, he said that you, shouldn't it make you happy that you will become the leader of the woman in Jannah? Or Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. So that made me smile. Exact like that, 6 months after Rasulullah SAW passed away, was the death of Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu gave the ghusl and he had performed her janazah salat. According to some rewires, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu performed her janazah salat. Her children were young, plus minus 7 years old. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha had so much of haya, so much of modesty, that she was worried that when she passes away, Sahaba ikram will carry her janaza, and they would see, although she will be draped in a kafan, in a shroud, they would see the figure or shape of her body. This was the haya the sahabiyat had. Today even our cloaks and abayas of our mothers and sisters wear with all funny patterns and designs. Allah knows best. Allah forgive us. Our women folk, all most of them. Allah knows best whether it is. In fact, one time in Makkah, they no longer have, but they had Minnie Mouse even. And all designer names. What is it? Is it sunnah? You want to be with Fatima radiallahu ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, my mothers and sisters who are listening over the receiver? It is mentioned in the kitab, she had so much of haya and modesty in her, that it made her so worried when Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha says, don't worry, I had seen Abyssinia, that they make a coffin with palm leaves and date palms. And she described this coffin and she got one made for Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, then she got itminan. It is mentioned Al-Isaba, where the biographies of Sahaba mention. Ulama have written a narration. And they said, on the day of Qiyam, on the day of Mahshar, it will be said, Ya Ahl al-Mahshar, O people who have gathered on the plains of Qiyamah, Ghuddu Absarakum, all the men are addressed, O men, lower your gazes, فَإِنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tamurru. Because Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wishes to pass by. These are the things we need to inculcate in our lives. She was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, Fatima is my flesh. Fatima is my liver. She's my liver. Whoever harms her has harmed me. When did he say this? When there was some talk about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala interested in marrying another woman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the masjid, assembled the sahaba, delivers a khutbah. He says, Fatima is part of me. Whoever harms her has harmed me. He says, and they explain, to get married to another woman is nothing wrong. But Ali, if you wish to get married to that other woman, you have the right to do so, but then you can't have Fatima in your nikah any longer. This is the meaning of the riwayat. And he explains, he says, why? Because the woman you intend to marry, although she is a believer, but her father was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, oh Ali, it cannot be that the daughter of the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be married to you together. It's not possible that you are marrying the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the daughter of his enemy. This will cause me a lot of pain. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu immediately he said, Ya Rasul, I'm not going to get married to anybody else. So while Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha was alive, he did not get married to any other woman. When Rasulullah s.a.w. passed away, Fatima radiallahu anha mentioned a very beautiful Arabic couplet. And he says, Mada ala man shamma turbata ahmada. Mada ala man shamma turbata ahmada. Allah yashumma al-ghawaliya madaz zaman. Allah yashumma madaz zamani al-ghawaliya. She says that person who just smells the fragrance of the sand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qabr, lifelong he can possess the best and the most fragrant of perfumes, and he refuses to smell those perfumes. It's nothing. Because after smelling the fragrance that emanates from the grave of my beloved father, you can never get any fragrant or any musk or any perfume that will match the smell and the fragrance that is coming out from his qabr. The ulama have written, I'm being very detailed today, ulama have written that the sand that touches the body of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sand that touches the body of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his grave, is even more greater than the Baytullah. So she says, Mada ala man shamma turbata ahmada. Allah yashumma madaz zamani ghawaliya. Subbat alayya masa'ibu law. Subbat alayya masa'ibu law. Annaha subbat ala al-ayyami udna layaliya. She says, such a musibat has come upon me today, such a musibat, that if this musibat, that is the loss of my beloved father, if this musibat has to be put onto the days we have when it's bright, shining, this musibat, if we just put onto the daylight, the day, it will turn night and dark. So heavy this musibat is. When Anas radiallahu ta'ala and other sahaba had come back from burying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, still she cannot take it. She accepted it, but she still sort of showing this type of anger that's coming out from her. Not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'adallah. She accepted. But to explain to the sahaba that my father is no longer with me. What does she say? Ya Anas! Ya Anas, oh Anas! What courage you all plucked up? What courage you all had to place the jutha, the body of my beloved father, into the grave? How did you all hand over the body of my father to the sand, to the earth? With what heart did you all do that? Of course, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, sahaba ikram, they also felt it very difficult, but it was the reality they all had to face. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Every person has to pass away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also had to leave this world. Azwaj al-Mutahharat also experienced that pain. His daughter also experienced that pain. His son-in-law and family members also experienced the pain. Says Abu Bakr Siddiq, day and night with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also experienced the pain. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, after Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala passed away, then Rasul got him married to his other daughter, Umm Kulthum. And therefore he is known as Dhun Nurain, possessor of two lights, And Rasulullah said, if I have another, so many other daughters, I would have given it to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Said that Uthman couldn't utter a word. He remained indoors, he couldn't come out of his house for a few hours. So they all went through this. It was the reality. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْ. Every person has to leave this world. But they have left behind a legacy for us. And this is the legacy that we have to now implement into our lives. And we have to become serious. There is no other way out. There is no other wazifa that we can just read and blow, respected brothers and elders and mothers and sisters. There is no just some magic wazifa. Of course, wazif have their effect and place. But Allah Ta'ala didn't just create us just to read wazifas and everything just works. Allah wants us to implement a system in our life. Allah wants us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. And we're reading of biographies of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Till now so many Sahaba, Sahabiyat we have discussed. If by now we have not felt a little bit change in our lives and in our heart and love towards Sahaba, then there's a big question mark on ourselves. Really? Then we got to start pondering and reflecting. What are we doing? After discussing so many Sahaba, if the desire has not come in our heart strongly now, that Ya Allah, make me like the Sahaba. I cannot give those sacrifices, but Ya Allah, accept me also. And let me try and bring few of the beautiful teachings and advices into my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us with sincerity and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow His special mercy and kindness upon us. Otherwise, my brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters, really, we have no time left. We have no time. Whether you're an alim, you're a scholar, hafiz, qari, mufti, you can be a sheikh, you can be a muballigh, you can be a muallim, mudarris, and muhaddis in a darul ulum even. You can be an apa in a madrasa, you can be a teacher, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer. We are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Deen gets first priority. And we have to love our deen, love our Allah, love our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love the Ahlul Bayt, love the Sahaba, and bring the teachings, bring the teaching, bring the teaching into our lives. We are weak, we will make mistakes, we will forget, we will be reminded, we will try, we will implement, we will forget, we will make mistakes, it will continue like this. But at least we will be aspiring to become like them. At least a few qualities will come into our lives. Rather than going on the day of Qiyamah, when the Shuhada of Uhud will show their blood to us before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Various Sahaba will show their sacrifices, they had stones tied to their bellies. Sahaba will show different types of sacrifices they made. What are we going to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With what face are we going to face? It is so easy to just to expect to get that Hawza Kawthar water, and Allah will give it to us. But we have not done nothing, anything like what Sahaba did. Queen of Jannat, and see her life, how simple. Here's one more incident I will mention. Where they were so hungry that Rasulullah SAW had actually left his masjid, and he heard the cries of Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, Fatima, you know these two grandchildren are so close to me. She says, what must I do? I've got no food. Sayyidina Ali is gone out. It's mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba, it was a cold winter's morning when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala went to find some work. He couldn't get any work. A Jew gives him some work. And the Jew is so hard and cruel on Sayyidina Ali, he expects him to draw buckets of water and so many buckets he had to draw out, and then he was just given just a handful of dates. And after some time, when he draws several buckets of water, he gets a handful of dates. It is mentioned in the kitab that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala looks towards the sky and he says, oh my Allah, or something to this effect. He says to himself that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my beloved Nabi, had some food in his home today, then Ali's home will also have food. But the fact that Ali, myself, I do not have food today, this is a clear sign that my Nabi himself has no food. So once Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Fatima, again same story like how I mentioned previously, they were hungry, extremely hungry. So he tells Fatima, there are some captives, some slaves, please go. Oh, no, in this narration, not captives. Your father has been given, or so many goats have come. Why didn't you go? Just get something. So she goes, knocks on the door, asks Rasulullah, she requests this time. We are extremely hungry. So just give us some goats. If you give us 5 goats, because he had plenty had come. 5 goats will suffice us. He says, oh Fatima, I'll give you 5 kalimat. 5 beautiful du'as. Ya awwal al-awwalin, wa ya akhir al-akhirin, wa ya dhal quwwati al-matin, wa ya rahim al-masakin, wa ya arham al-rahimin. These 5 words. These are far more superior than giving you these 5 goats. You wish whichever one you want. You want the 5 goats, your father is prepared to give it to you now. You want these 5 kalimat. Then you take, this is more valuable for you. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala immediately said, oh my beloved father, I will learn these words. And she takes these words. When she goes back home, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is waiting. Fatima, ma waraq, what have you brought? What's the good news? At least we can eat something now. You know what answer she gives? She says, kharajtu min indik. Kharajtu min indik. I left you, O Ali, my beloved husband, for dunya. Waji'tu bil akhirah. I brought back akhirah. See, what is dunya in their minds? Dunya in the minds of sahaba is when they are starving, starving, starving. They've got no food to eat. And if they have to acquire some food, then that means for them they've acquired dunya. She said, I left you, O Ali, my husband, to get dunya. I brought for you akhirah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was not like you and I, the husbands of today. We would have become angry and upset and talaq, and we would have abused and sworn her and her father and mother and the whole ummah. Why is it when we have a problem with our wives? Immediately, we say her mother and father, what did they do to you? Her brother and sister, what did they do to us? Allah give us hidayat, Allah give us tawfiq of behaving properly. Of behaving like true ummatis of Rasulullah. Just think for a moment, on the day of Qiyamah, if we are taken to task, what answer are we going to give to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That you are my ummati, this is how you behave? Volumes have been written, bayans have been given, bayans upon bayans upon bayans. It's left to us. Allah protect us, Allah save us from humiliation. We have to be true ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make up our mind and strive towards that akhirat and gain the success. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We have a few minutes more inshallah. And we continue our tafsir inshallah of Surah Maryam. Last week we discussed Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam and how despite his old age Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Today we discuss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. Allah says, make mention of in the book of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, remember the story of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ, when she withdrew, she moved away from her family. مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا, she went to an easterly place. Various reasons have been given, but a very common reason that has been given in many tafsir kitabs, that she wanted to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude. And she found it difficult to worship Allah ta'ala amidst all the people, so she broke away from them, and she went in the easterly direction. فَتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا, she placed a curtain, a barrier between her and the people, and she was making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why she is there? Allah says, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا صَوِيًّا. Allah says, we sent to her and our angel, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And he appeared before her in the form of a perfect human being. Basharan, human being, sawiyya, perfect. She sees a strange man coming, very handsome looking. قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ.
قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا.
Listen, if you got taqwa in you, if you are righteous and pious, I seek Allah's protection from you. You have come to harm me. Who are you? You're not supposed to be here. You're a stranger. I don't have any connection, any contact with any strange men.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in the form of a human being and not in an angelic form, because if he had come as an angel to Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, then she would have become shocked and afraid to see an angel appearing before her when she had not seen an angel in her life. And then she would run away from there, she would flee from that place. If Allah brought a human being, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the entire world the chastity of this woman, Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. She's saying that I seek Allah's protection from you. If you are righteous, go away from here. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكَ. I am an angel of your Rabb. I have come with some news. لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. I've been sent down to inform you that Allah is going to bestow you and grant you a very righteous, a very pure son. Now look at that. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he and his wife were old. Allah bless him with Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Here Maryam alayhi salam has got no husband. قَالَتْ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامًا. How is it possible for me to get a son? And two reasons. وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. No man has touched me. In other words, I have not made nikah with any man. I have not made a legal halal nikah. وَلَمْ أَكُوْ بَغِيَّةٌ. Neither am I a prostitute or a loose woman. I'm not unchaste. I've got haya, I've got chastity in me. How is it possible I'm going to get a child? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ. It will happen like that. That you will be granted a child. This is the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنَ. He said, your Rabb has said that it is so easy for me. Your Allah created you in the beginning, created the entire worlds. For Allah to create, give you a child without having a husband is nothing. هَيِّن. It's so light, so easy. وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. Allah says, we will make him a sign for the people to show my qudrat, my power, that this is Allah. Without a woman having any contact with any man, she still falls pregnant in the natural, in the way, not in the way that science is now, trying to produce children. We're not going to go into those masail in details. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا. And he'll be a source of mercy from us. He'll be a mercy for the people. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. And this is a decided plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to change. So you are going to get, and you are going to bear this child. فَحَمَلَتُهُ. It is mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in the third para, it is mentioned that he just blows into the collar of the gown or the dress that Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was wearing. And immediately this ruh, the spirit, goes into her stomach, into her womb. And now, this is how Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to be in his mother's womb. So he was the ruh from Allah, and that's why ruhum minhu. In other words, Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to blow into Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is how then she got Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. فَحَمَلَتُ. She conceived him. فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. Again she withdrew with this child being in her stomach into a very distant, far place. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. And after some time, she experiences labor pains. Some scholars have mentioned that probably it was the same place called Bethlehem today, Baitul Laham, which is very close to Baitul Maqdis, approximately 8 miles. This is the view of Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi. So he says, فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Brothers, I'm addressing the men now. We don't know what is labor pains. But sometimes when we have stomach pains, we say, it's just like labor pains. That means we also accept and acknowledge that the labor pains are excruciating, very painful. Our mothers and sisters know that when they're experiencing labor pains, then they are really in severe, severe, severe pains. Now imagine, she is in a faraway place. She's not with her family. She's got nobody else. nobody to assist her, there's no witness, there's nothing. She's got no food. How is she going to give birth now? So this labor pains forces her to the trunk of nakhla, a date tree. Some type of support she will get. She's holding on to this date tree. قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًا. She says, oh, how I wish that I was dead before this day. And I was something that was completely forgotten. You know what was worrying her? Not the fact that she won't manage giving birth on her own, no. The thing that was eating her up was this worry that how is she going to face her people and present this child and say, this is my legitimate child. They're not going to believe. And I'm such a pure, chaste woman. How am I going to explain to them? فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا. A voice called to her from beneath. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. Don't grieve, don't worry. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا. Allah has caused a river to flow. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Allah says, shake this date tree and this fresh rutaban janiyya. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيَّا. You just shake this date tree and you will find fresh, juicy rutab dates coming down to you, falling to you. It was not there before. Allah created the tree. And there's a stream for you to drink water. These two things, water and this fresh rutab, is sufficient for a woman to gain her nourishment when she is pregnant or when she after giving birth. فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. Eat, drink, and look at the stream, river. It will give you some type of solace. Make your eyes, cool your eyes with just looking at the scene of this, of the sight of this river flowing. فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِرَحْمَانِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you have to then see any human being or meet any person, then all you go to say, listen, I am fasting today. And the fast at that time, they were not allowed to speak. فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِرَحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. I vow to my Allah that I'm going to keep a roza today. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. My vow, my fast is such that I can never talk to any person today. So don't worry, you don't have to do any talking. فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُ. She brought this child, carrying this child to her people. Immediately, قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. What, you have done such a wrong thing, such an evil thing? يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ. Oh, sister of Harun. Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, according to many mufassirin, she was from the progeny of the brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Harun. She came from their progeny. She was not the immediately progeny, distant but from the same lineage. Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki murasaw wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Neither was your father or your mother evil people. They didn't commit zina. They were chaste people. They came from a very pious family. What have you done? Fa asharat ilay. She is fasting. She cannot speak. She merely indicates to this child, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, qalu kayfa nukallimu man kana fil mahdi sabiya. How can we talk to a child? Newborn child, sit in the cradle. How can we talk to this child? Nevertheless, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to some kitabs, it is mentioned he was drinking milk, and of course, Maryam alayhi salam had stopped when the people came. So still in that newborn baby, when he sees the people coming, and they're asking her, what is happening? Qala inni abdullah. Immediately, verily I am the servant of Allah. Atani al-kitab. وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He's saying, Allah has given me a book and made me a Nabi. Mufassirin say that Allah, what it meant, Allah will give me a book, Allah will make me a Nabi. وَجَعْلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. My Allah has made me blessed wherever I am. وَأُوصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. Allah has commanded me, instructed me to read salah, give zakat as long as I'm alive. So, this child speaking at this so small infant stage of his. So it was a miracle. Allah made it such. Mufassirin say, after that, Isa alayhi salam did not speak until it was the time and the normal age where children would then speak themselves. Till then he remained silent. This is the only thing he spoke. So it is a miracle. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي And he said, and Allah has made me obedient to my mother. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا Allah has not made me arrogant and wretched. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا Allah Ta'ala says that Isa A.S. then said that peace be upon me, the day I was born, the day I will die. It shows that Isa A.S. will die. Right now, Allah Ta'ala had taken him away. He's in the heavens. He will come back in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our iman. He will come back as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi Kareem sallam was Khatamun Nabiyin, seal of prophethood. There was no Nabi to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was an imposter. He was a false prophet. And many others who claim nubuwat. Isa alayhi wa sallam will come as a Nabi and he'll kill Dajjal. Some other occasion we discuss that. And he says, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا And the day I will be resurrected again alive. ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ Allah says, that is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Maryam. So this is his mother, he is the son of Maryam. قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ It is a statement of truth wherein they dispute. We find that there were two groups amongst them that said, no. Some said, no, he is a miracle child, was born miraculously, and his mother did not commit zina. Others said, no, she must have committed zina. And this, so there was a dispute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he was the ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not the son of Allah. Isa alayhi salatu salam, this is our qidah, he is not the father. He is no Holy Ghost. The doctrine of Trinity, which the Christians believe in, that one is three and three is one. Allah Ta'ala has made it so clear in Surah Maryam, which we read, that Isa alayhi salatu salam was the son of Maryam, the son of Mary, son of Maryam alayhi salatu salam. He had no father. He was not crucified. He will come back into this world and he will die a natural death after he kills the Dajjal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat and make us understand the true teachings of deen and sharia and Islam. And the tawheed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.